Welcome to Sports Rivals with Monty and Ernie. Lively, entertaining banter on sports topics you want to hear.
All right, everyone, wherever you are and however you may be listening, welcome to what historically is our most popular show of the year, our NFL draft preview. We're going to wrap up at the end of the show with our first round. Ernie and I will tell you who we think is going to go where in the first round. All that matters to me is for the first time since 2016, the Rams have a first round pick. So I actually care about the first round for the first time in 8 years. Unless they trade it between now and between now and the draft. So we're going to spend 90-95% of the show on the NFL. But Ernie, we cannot not acknowledge the fact that we were both right in terms of UConn winning the title. You almost had the exact score. You started off with, you're like 72-60. And the final score was 75-60.
At halftime, it was exactly half of that.
Yeah, so 36 Ernie to nailed 30. That right. Again, congratulations to Michael Bright, who won our pool. Ernie and I moved up to third and fourth behind my daughter, Crystal, who was in second, and my other daughter, Mike's boyfriend, who was in fifth. The five of us chose UConn. So UConn finished the most dominating run. Not only are they back-to-back, but their average margin of victory in this year's tournament was 23-plus points per game. Zach Edey did everything he could, 37 points. But they did, as we discussed, everybody else was shut down. Edey got his, and they roll. And the fact is, they didn't even shoot well. They're like 4-for-24 from three-point range and still won going away. Congratulations, UConn. Another dominant victory.
Yep, I agree. I mean, that's unfortunately for the other teams, you know, in the NCAA, Dan Hurley, the architect of that team, is here to say they're not picked number one next year. That belongs to Duke. But here, I bet you when the chips are down, that UConn team will probably be. I would expect that UConn team to at least make the Elite Eight.
Yeah, I mean, history has shown that he's going to find a way. But a lot has changed since last week when it comes to Duke. Kyle Filipowski, Jared McCain announced that they're turning pro. Two other starters, Mark Mitchell and Jonathan Blakes, are entering the transfer portal. That really only leaves all-world incoming freshman Cooper Flagg. And ancillary parts. But Donovan Klingham announced that he's going to be turning pro, as did Stephen Castle. So UConn's going to be starting from scratch again, but they have proven that they have the system in place to go on. Now, the other concern, and Ernie and I were just talking off the air, I was dead wrong on this. I thought with the momentum of the tournament, momentum of the women's tournament, and the 18.9 million people that tuned in for South Carolina, Iowa, I expected Monday night's game with UConn and Purdue to go back over 20 million for the first time since 2017. And unfortunately, it did not come close. It came in under 15 million, barely more than the UConn San Diego State match from last year, which was probably the most boring championship marquee matchup in years. So if the men with the two best teams and the two-time player of the year can't draw more than 15 million, that to me raises a red flag about what's happening on the men's side. The women, 4 million more viewers for the women's game than the men's game. Now, we know that's a lot to do with Caitlin Clark, but I would be a little concerned if I was paying $7 billion for the March Madness rights.
I wonder if that had something to do with the late start on the East Coast. Two East Coast teams basically starting at 9 o'clock at night on a work night. So maybe that had something to do with it. I don't really know, but...
And the fact that by the second half, it had already had gone to about a 10 to 15 point spread. Yeah. And that's the average amount of viewers. So maybe people tuned out. They're like, heck, I ain't staying up as you said, the game started past 9, you know, so they're not going to stay up to watch a blowout. So maybe that factored in as well. But again, something that I think the powers that be have to take into consideration, that it's the wild, wild west on the men's side. 2,000 kids in the portal right now. But that's that. Another NCAA basketball season in the books. We'll see what happens next year when Michigan and Gonzaga rise to the top. All right, one of Ernie's favorite weekends of the year, the Masters. Ernie, any surprises on what turned out?
Well, not surprises, but more of disappointments. I was surprised that Tiger Woods was actually in contention going into the weekend, you know, going under par on Thursday, one over headed into the weekend, but boy, did his ailments rear its ugly head, going 10 over par on Saturday. And then, what, another 5 over par today. It wasn't a good last 2 days for Mr. Woods, my contemporary, who really I attribute to, you know, my enjoyment in golf. I mean, I used to see headlines, but it was Tiger Woods, you know, that actually got me, you know, watching that sport, you know, from, you know, I guess my college years until most recently, until, you know, he started getting into trouble. But Scottie Scheffler, you know, the new and up-and-coming name, wins his second Masters, 2 out of the last 3 years. In relatively easy fashion, it was him and Colin Morikawa going into the final round, number one, number two. Colin had to take his chances, which I don't blame, but, you know, he suffered like most golfers do when they get aggressive and they have to on the final Sunday. Amen corner ate up Morikawa. He just couldn't navigate through that, and Scheffler just played easy golf, you know, having just to, you know, basically only needing to par the rest of the way, but, you know, he extended his lead. I believe he went 3 under, you know, on the back 9, more than extending his lead and easily coasting to victory. Again, congratulations to Scottie Scheffler, the world number one. It would have been interesting to see Rory get in there, and maybe John Rahm, you know, try to see all those, you know, world-ranked golfers get in there. But, you know, that time we'll see those guys later in the year. You know, you have the PGA Championship coming up, and hopefully Tiger Woods can rebound from this and make his name worthy. Because if he's in there, man, he is the Caitlin Clark of golf. All eyes come to see him, even in his declining play. That guy is still a draw.
I mean, he really is. But I think nothing that I have seen has shown that Tiger can competitively play 4 rounds of golf. I think he's shown that he can make the cuts, and then that third round, it blows up. At least he finished this time. The last few times, he's just kind of dropped out in the third or fourth rounds. He just kind of drops out. But he fought through his worst to par, 16 over to par, his worst performance ever. But the fact that he made it to the weekend, I think, is great. It's just sad because we remember the Tiger, the dominant Tiger, and we still have this. That's the power of Tiger Woods. Even with all the injuries and surgeries and him being 48 years old, we still kind of think, what if?
Yeah.
I think he can. And that's the power of Tiger Woods, that people like you and I, who have passing interest in the overall game, think, what if? How exciting would it be if he would be in there? But Scottie Scheffler is clearly the number one player in the world right now. He's won back-to-back players championships. Now he's got his second major, his second Masters. He is rolling right now, and congratulations to Scottie Scheffler. Now let's turn a little bit to the NBA. Again, that's Ernie. I am Monty. We are the Sports Rivals. We are going to get to our NFL draft soon, but the NBA closed today, and I think we owe it a little bit to at least quickly go through the play-in tournament that begins this week. On Tuesday night, you have my Los Angeles Lakers, who secured the 8 seed, at New Orleans, who fell to the 7th seed. The same day, you have 10-seeded Golden State at Sacramento. Again, the winner of the Los Angeles and New Orleans matchup gets the 7th seed. The loser plays the winner of Golden State Sacramento on Friday night. In the East, it's going to be Miami at Philadelphia. Philadelphia the 7, Miami the 8, and then 10-seeded Atlanta at Chicago. Same thing, the winner of Miami-Philadelphia gets the 7th seed and the right to play the Knicks, and the loser gets to play the winner of Atlanta and Chicago. So real quickly, let's start on the East. I think Philadelphia and Miami are both going to get in. I can't see a scenario where Chicago or Atlanta wins twice. So I would guess that's going to happen. Philadelphia, since Embiid has come back, is scary. On fire.
Scary.
They played 7 games. They've won 7 in a row. I think if you're a Knicks fan, I'm not sure who you'd rather play, but Embiid is a bad matchup for the Knicks. Ernie doesn't care who he plays. I mean, he could be an all-star team and Boston's going to take him. So I don't think Ernie is overly concerned, but at the same time, Miami did knock him out last week. So for you, who would you rather see, Miami or Philadelphia?
Oh, definitely Miami. I mean, Miami still scares me. Just the ghost of years past.
Just the Spoelstra and Jimmy Butler.
But those were Eastern Conference Finals, not 1-8. And this is a different Boston Celtic team, and that's a different Miami Heat team, I think. And the Boston Celtics disposed of them 3 straight this year. Not even close games. I believe all double-digit wins against Miami. At most, Miami steals 1. But I look at this as more as a sweep or a gentleman's sweep at worst.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree. I think Boston is going to roll to whoever they play against. But certainly the 76ers are making it interesting right now. They have Joel Embiid, and he's playing well. They're on a 7-game winning streak. So let's assume that Philadelphia and Miami do get in. That would set up a Boston-Miami matchup. We already talked about that. I think Boston rolls. The Knicks against the Sixers would be a barn burner.
That's going to be good.
I am so impressed with Jalen Brunson. What he's done with this Knicks team, with all their injuries, to get them to the 2 seed is nothing short of spectacular. But they have no answer for Joel Embiid. But the Sixers never play well in the playoffs. I mean, maybe this could be the year. But that would be a hell of a matchup. That would be the marquee matchup of the Eastern Conference in the first round.
I agree.
Number 3, Milwaukee is going to play Indiana. I think Indiana is going to take them out.
Me too.
Especially with Giannis's injury situation. I'm not sure how much Giannis is going to try to push it. If you just think back to Kevin Durant a few years back, calf injury, pushed it, Achilles tear. I don't think Giannis wants anything to do with that. I think Giannis is smart enough to understand they ain't winning no championship this year. I think they're cautious with him, even if he plays. I think the Pacers
are
going to take him out.
Me too. Pacers have won, because of the play-in tournament this year, they played 5 times. Pacers have won 4 of the 5. I think even if Giannis comes back, which is anticipated to be game 3 of that series, at the earliest, I like the Pacers in 6.
Yeah, I do too. And then the 4-5 matchup is 2 teams that are not playing their best right now. It's Cleveland, who's the 4, Orlando, the 5. Right now, I think Ernie and I are on different sides. I think Ernie is more on the Magic side. I'm going to take Cleveland with more of the experience. Donovan Mitchell usually rises up in the playoffs. But no strong preference there. Am I right, though? You go Magic?
I do go Magic. Cleveland can't beat a team with a winning record. They have a losing record against... they beat all the junk teams. They can't beat any of the good teams.
Yeah, this is Orlando's first venture into the playoffs in a long time.
Yeah, this is a young
up-and-coming roster.
It is. And this Orlando Magic team has a very good... last week I anointed them as the second best team in the East. I jinxed them. They since have lost 3 of their last 4. But that doesn't take away the fact that they are the number 2 defense in the NBA. Defense travels.
And in the West, Oklahoma City, surprisingly, at least to me, secures the number one seed. SGA comes back after missing the first part of the month. They win five straight once he gets back. They are the number one seed. Denver costly loss to San Antonio the other day. They tie. They tie with OKC, but they get the two seed. Minnesota gets pummeled today at home against Phoenix. They're the three seed. The Clippers drop three in a row to end the season to go to be the fourth seed. Dallas lost two in a row, but they were resting players. They're red hot. They're the five seed. Phoenix 6-6, and we already talked about the other ones. So this is the thing. There's a lot of chatter on the Lakers world that the Lakers should tank the first game and win the second game to try to avoid the Denver Nuggets. And as a Laker fan, that's stupid, people. You can't do that. This is the NBA. Anything can happen. And first of all, if the goal is to win one series, maybe. But the goal is to win a championship. And you're going to have to beat Denver at some point anyway. We might as well play them when we're at our freshest. Because last year we played them when we were at our most tired at the very end. Yeah. So we have a better chance in the first round than we do in the last round. So it is what it is. But last week, we just played a Warriors team that had 26 three-pointers against us. We can't beat Sacramento. They're 4-0 against us. And Sabonis is 9-0 against AD.
Yeah.
So in what world do we say, let's just mail it in because we can take...
You might be out of the playoffs.
We might be out. So
altogether,
the Lakers have to go all in against the Pelicans and have to have that confidence that if we're up against Denver, we're up against Denver. Let the chips fall where they may. The interesting thing is, who's the other team that's coming out of the West? I could see any of the four really making it out. Golden State's been playing brilliantly. Clay has been hot. Sacramento is probably struggling the most out of these teams. It wouldn't surprise me if both the Lakers and Pelicans make it, because the Pelicans will play two home games. If they lose to the Lakers, they get another home game. Zion's playing well. Who do you think are the two teams from the West that'll make it out of the play-in?
I think it's going to be the Pelicans and the Lakers. I don't trust, like you said, Sacramento in this last month. I mean, they had their destiny in their own hands and they blew it. Golden State is a shell of themselves. I don't think they're going to last very long. I actually like Sacramento beating Golden State, because Sacramento... in their house, it's going to be electric. I mean, they're going to want to exact revenge on them from last year's playoffs. But I like, if your Lakers get into that 8-seed matchup against the Thunder, that's, to me, that's a toss-up.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I would take the Lakers over OKC. But I'm definitely afraid that if the Lakers lose Tuesday night, they're going to lose to Sacramento or Golden State. So I think, for me, it's going to be they're going to play Denver or they're probably not going to make it. But you're right. I think Oklahoma City is going to be a toss-up against whoever they play, whether it be the Pelicans, the Warriors, or the Kings. I don't think anyone is fully sold on OKC, and with their inexperience, we'll see. They're a tremendous team with a lot of young talent, but it's going to be, the West is going to be just nuts. Every matchup, there's not going to be a clear favorite.
Oh, yeah.
So whether if it's OKC against anyone, I think it's going to go six or seven games, no matter who they play against.
I agree.
Denver, if it's against the Lakers, I think the Lakers will win one or two against the Nuggets. I just think the Nuggets are just a bad matchup for everyone. The interesting series really starts from there. Minnesota and Phoenix. I like Phoenix. If they stay healthy, I think the big three are finally healthy playing together. They seem to be peaking now. Again, I have my concern with Minnesota. As talented as they are, led by Gobert, is probably going to be the defensive player of the year. But again, introducing Cat back into the lineup, that's hard to do on the run when he's been out for such a long time. I like Phoenix in six in that series. What do you say?
I like Minnesota in six. I just think in the playoffs, you shorten your rotation. I think that defense from Minnesota, which is the number one defense in the NBA, puts a clamp on at least one of the three, you know, and then from there, let their Minnesota's bench outperform the Suns' bench. But it's going to be a very interesting matchup because the Suns can beat any team in the West with Durant, Booker, and Beal. I mean, if they're on their A games, they'll beat anybody, including the Boston Celtics, who swept them this year.
If they're on their A game, and I think anyone can say that. I don't think. Well, if Phoenix is playing their A game and Boston's playing their A game, Boston's going to win because Boston has more depth.
Yeah.
But I like Phoenix there, and then Dallas against the Clippers. I like Dallas off the Clippers.
I like Dallas at five.
Yeah, I really do. I like Dallas pretty quickly, and then I like Dallas to win against OKC and or if the 8 seed gets in there. I like Dallas to get to the conference finals. I still believe it's going to be against the Denver Nuggets, but the West is going to be absolute bedlam, and all of that is going to set up nicely for Boston, who's going to be skating through their playoffs.
I hope so.
I'm setting Ernie up. I'm trying to butter him up as much as possible. Okay, real quickly, let me spit out my last top five of the season. I end with Boston 1, Denver 2, OKC 3, Minnesota 4, Dallas 5 for me. Four West teams in there, with your Boston being far and away the number one.
Yeah, I'm going to echo you exactly the way you have it. I mean, there's really no too many injuries on the West. I like how New York has rebounded. The emergence of Embiid in Philadelphia's lineup a little too late, to affect those particular rankings. Maybe if the season extended out another 2 weeks, you can see one of those two teams creep up into the top five. But as it stands, Boston number one. The four West teams fill out the top five.
All right, gang. So now what you've been waiting for, we are going to turn our focus to the NFL draft coming up in just under 2 weeks. Okay. So again, this is who Ernie and I would take. We're not going to elaborate on every single pick because we're already 22 minutes in. We talked a little bit more than I thought on the NBA, but hey, that was good content right there.
It was.
You can't rush genius, right, Ernie? All right, so let's get into round one. The Chicago Bears, there's no drama there. They're going to take Caleb Williams. Anything you want to say with
it
that?
It would be a shock. I've seen some mock drafts where either Drake May or even Jaden Daniels was number one. I think that's ludicrous. I think those are conspiracy theorists. I'd be shocked if Caleb Williams doesn't go number one.
All right, so number two is where it can get a little bit interesting. I have heard recently that Jaden Daniels is a lock to the Commanders. I'm taking Jaden Daniels, who has a relationship. I like the matchup with him and Cliff Kingsbury, who's there now as the offensive coordinator. I think Cliff Kingsbury will work wonders with Jaden Daniels. I like him to the Commanders.
Yeah, I mean, I like Daniels to go to Washington. Also, however, I'm kind of a little bit worried on top of that because Daniels had such a. I mean, I talked with Monty off the air that his weapons at LSU were just so tremendous. I mean, I don't think you can find a better number one, number two combo from the wide receiver standpoint.
Definitely, you won't find a better one-two combo in college.
Yeah.
You may be hard-pressed to find a better one-two combo in the NFL. That you're talking about two surefire first-round draft picks that he has. So I get your temperament on, wait a minute, let's see what he can do with the Commanders wide receivers.
Exactly. Where, as I see it, Drake May, even though he had okay receivers, he kind of did it on his own, I would say. I think he's more apt to... I trust him more than I would with Daniels, even though I think Daniels has the more upside.
Okay,
but I would still take... With all that said, Jaden Daniels, number two.
Okay, so let's go to number three, because this is where I think you think things are going to get really, really interesting. And I agree. What are you doing with that third pick?
The third pick, the Patriots are going to trade down. Just for the fact that right now, I think Drake May is considered the number three quarterback. I think there are very few teams outside of the Patriots that really like J.J. McCarthy. I think the Patriots can get J.J. McCarthy later in the round and pick up, draft assets to help that team, because God knows they need everything. I see them trading out to the Minnesota Vikings for their two first-round picks, and I have the Minnesota Vikings picking up Drake May.
All right, so that's where I have a similar trade, but not here. I am staying with the Patriots at three, and I have them taking J.J. McCarthy. I have heard that the Patriots are enamored with J.J. McCarthy. For the life of me, I'm not sure why. I mean, I think he was protected at Michigan, but that's kind of what I'm hearing. I hear a little bit more doubt surrounding Drake May, and Drake May looks the part, big, strong arm. But I've seen him play against my Miami Hurricanes, and he can be kind of hit and miss. And I think, right or wrong, I think people are going to think the last time there was a hot North Carolina guy that came up and was drafted at two in the draft, Mitch Trubisky was his name. And the Bears regretted trading from 9 to 2 to take Trubisky in a draft that later saw Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson go at 10 and 12. And I think Trubisky is going to haunt Drake May. So I think J.J. McCarthy goes three to the Patriots, although it would not surprise me. The Patriots need everything. It would not surprise me if the Patriots traded down, like Ernie said, for more assets. Number four is where I have the Vikings making that trade. I have the Vikings trading their 11 and 23 to the Cardinals at four to take Drake May. So I think you and I are on the same page that the Vikings end up with Drake May. But you've already made that trade. So who are the Arizona Cardinals taking with the fourth pick?
I mean, this is another a tough one because, Malik Nabers, incredible talent. I mean, I've read articles coming out from LSU saying that he is better. He is the best receiver to come out of that program. And when you're talking about LSU receivers, you're talking about OBJ. You're talking about Jamar Chase. Recently, Justin Jefferson. A slew of, who's who in the NFL as far as, all pros are considered. So, then you got Marvin Harrison Jr. out of Ohio State. And you got all the lineage over there. I don't think you can pass that up. I think he is the safer pick. And I think no matter who you pick amongst those two, you can't go wrong. It's just a matter of how do they fit into the system. With that all said, I have the Arizona Cardinals picking up Marvin Harrison at number four.
All right. So see, for me, as we turn to the top five, again, right or wrong, and Ernie and I are talking about this off the air, I have four quarterbacks going 1, 2, 3, and 4. Are they the four best players in the draft? No. I think Caleb Williams is. But I think 2, 3, 4, I don't think Jaden Daniels, Drake May, and J.J. McCarthy by any stretch are the 2, 3, and 4 best draft prospects. But that's just the nature of the beast. So at 5, I really believe the Chargers were hoping to take the two picks from the Vikings. But the fact that that trade has already happened, I think the Chargers stay put. I have them taking Marvin Harrison, who under my scenario is still available at number 5. Mike Williams is now a Jet. Keenan Allen is now a Bear. They need to get some weapons. I know Harbaugh wants to build from the trenches, but I think Marvin Harrison is too much to pass up with that first pick there.
Yeah, I agree on the position, and that's why I'm picking Malik Nabers at that number 5 spot. For all the points that you made, they need that wide receiver, and Malik Nabers will fill that spot and then some, in my opinion. If he lives up to the hype, and you gotta believe that hype. I mean, again, with that lineage coming out of the LSU as far as that wide receiver position is concerned, This is your next future All-Pro in Malik Nabers.
And so that's the exact reason why I have Nabers now going at the sixth spot with the New York Giants. I still have him available there. The only thing that could bring a little bit of intrigue here is if somehow J.J. McCarthy is still on the board. I think there's an outside chance that the Giants will go for J.J. McCarthy, despite the fact that they're on the hook with Daniel Jones' contract for the next 2 years. But right now, they are bereft of weapons. They need to go get weapons. They lost Saquon Barkley. Malik Nabers to the Giants at six is where I'm going. Where are you going with the Giants?
See, this is what makes it so difficult when you make trades, because I believe that there is potential for the Giants to take a quarterback at this position. I don't want to make it more complicated than it needs to be. So I'm going to be, although I think that if there is a viable quarterback being the four that we've mentioned, that they probably pick a quarterback in that position. I'm going to play it safe over here. I'm going with the Giants, building up that line for Mr. Daniels and taking the best offensive lineman out there, and that's going to be Joel Alt out of Notre Dame.
Wow. I mean, the one thing that the Giants are pretty strong at, they've invested in their tackles, but last year the Alabama tackle struggled on the right side. Joel Alt is clearly the number one offensive lineman, which is why I have him going at number seven. I seem to be one behind you because I already took J.J. McCarthy and you haven't. I have Joel Alt going to the Tennessee Titans, whose offensive line has to be rebuilt. They've done a good job with their receiving courts. They now have DeAndre Hopkins and Calvin Ridley. They brought in Tony Pollard. They need to take care of that offensive line if they're going to build any confidence with Will Levis. Who are you taking?
I'm going to go with the combine wonder. And right now, the Titans are looking at edge, in my opinion. And I'm going to go with Dallas Turner, 6'3", linebacker. I think he's going to be a monster coming off of that edge.
Well, they're going to hope that you're saying that they're going to hope to get lightning in the bottle like the Texans got this year with Alabama's number one pick defensive player of the year for them. Dallas Turner to Tennessee for Ernie. Again, like the last four picks, I have Dallas Turner going one pick behind where Ernie does. Dallas Turner, I think, goes to the Atlanta Falcons. I think they're loaded on offense already with the signing of Kirk Cousins. Their offensive line is decent. Their defense is where they struggle a little bit. I think they go with the best pass rusher in the draft, as Ernie alluded to. Dallas Turner to the Falcons at eight. So who do you have the Falcons taking at eight?
With Kirk Cousins in the system, I think that's going to be changing. And the offensive is going to be changing from running to more of a balanced offense. Although they have good receivers in that system with their tight ends out there, I think they go wide receiver, deep wide receiver class. I think they go with Rome Odunze at the number eight position.
Wow, just loading up on wide receivers there, because you already have Pitts, you have Drake London, Darryl Mooney, and now Rome Odunze. And for the fifth consecutive time, Rome Odunze for me is going nine to the Chicago Bears. So the Chicago Bears to me are going to come out of this draft with the best quarterback and one of the best wide receivers that'll join Keenan Allen and DJ Moore to form a unbelievable threesome at wide receiver. I have Rome Odunze nine to the Bears. Who are the Bears taking for you?
I see them taking protection for their number one draft pick. I have them actually not protection. I'm sorry. I see that for them, they're going to go defense on this side. I have them taking UCLA edge, Laiatu Latu.
Okay, so you have the defensive coach going with a defensive player. I say they're going to load up on offense. That brings us to a very interesting position here with the Jets. So with the Jets, Ernie, what I'm thinking is they signed Tyron Smith. They traded for Moses. their tackles. Both of them are old. Both of them have injury histories. So if it were me, I probably would invest in an offensive lineman there to back those two guys up.
I agree.
But I think they're going all in. They already have Garrett Wilson, Mike Williams. I think they go Brock Bowers, wow. The Travis Kelce clone. Wow. I think Aaron Rodgers loves his tight end. I think you introduce Brock Bowers with Breece Hall, Garrett Wilson, Mike Williams. You have an explosive offense. If those tackles can stay healthy, I would go offensive lineman. I think they go Brock Bowers.
I think they go offensive lineman on this case. I think the cachet that Aaron Rodgers has at this point in his career is waning and waning badly. I think the front office, gambled too much in the past years, and that's why they're in their predicament that they're in right now with that great defense that they have. They're going to have to balance their offense. I think for all the reasons that you stated earlier, they go for their offensive tackles for the future. I have them taking Fashanu out of Penn State.
Okay, that makes total sense. So this is where it gets interesting. So I'm going to go to you first. So you have the Patriots making the trade. So the Patriots are on the clock here with the 11th pick. Who are the Patriots taking
They're going to take J.J. McCarthy. I have a feeling that they may do some other moves to actually even go earlier for this pick. But like I said, having trades in this scenario, having more than one trade in any round is just too difficult to juggle. I think they take J.J. McCarthy, although in the real world, I believe that they even move up further to get him.
So this is where, if Ernie is correct, this is where he would be much smarter than me, because I had the Vikings. I mean, I had the Patriots at 3, staying at 3 and drafting J.J. McCarthy. Ernie has them trading back to 11, picking up an additional number one pick and still getting the same guy. So based on that scenario, Ernie would be much smarter than I am. But that's in fantasy land, so we know that that's not the case. So Ernie has the Patriots taking J.J. McCarthy at number 11. For me, I have the Arizona Cardinals here because they made the trade down. I think Arizona is going to invest in the trenches. I have them taking Troy Faltanu from the University of Washington. Versatile offensive lineman, can play tackle, can play guard. He's been moving up the charts right now. So Arizona goes offensive lineman at 11. 12th, Denver. This is where it can be interesting. Curious who you have the Broncos taking.
I think they have the they have a number of positions to fill up over here. I think they go with the best available player, in my opinion, on the defensive side. I have them taking Florida State edge Jared Verse. I mean, all the tools up there to come off that edge very quick off of the snap, and an engine that does not quit.
This is where I think Denver is going to be pushing the envelope here. They may be looking to trade down if somebody desperately wants to come up, but if they stay put at 12, Sean Payton sees a lot of Bo Nix in Drew Brees. Bo Nix goes number 12 to the Denver Broncos, who have no real quarterback right now. They have Jarrett Stidham. They have good receivers. They invested in their offensive line. Their defense is solid. They cannot go into the season with Jarrett Stidham and hope to compete with the Chiefs and the Chargers in that division. Bo Nix, the Drew Brees clone, goes to the Broncos at number 12.
Wow, Bo Nix. I don't even have him in my first round.
Neither do a lot of people. Okay, so number 13, the Las Vegas Raiders. Again, another team that there's smoke around a quarterback. If a quarterback is there, they did sign Gardner Minshew. They have Aiden O'Connell. I don't believe they're satisfied with that. I don't see Michael Penix going in this position. I already have five quarterbacks off the board. I believe they go with the best right tackle, who they lost. They have a good left tackle in Colton Miller. I believe they go with the mammoth J.C. Latham from the University of Alabama to take over that right tackle spot.
You know what? This is the first one since the early picks over there that we've caught up. We're on the same page. The Raiders have made very interesting choices in the past. I think this makes the most sense to pick up Latham at this particular position. Watch. They're not going to pick up Latham.
And then you had Fashanu going to the Jets at 10. This is where I have Fashanu going at 14 to the New Orleans Saints. I believe they have to invest in that offensive line, rebuild that line. They have weapons. They have a quarterback. They have a good defense. I think they go offensive line. I have Fashanu, offensive tackle from Penn State, 14 to the Saints.
Okay, this is where I have your the first tight end off the board, Brock Bowers. Tremendous talent. I think that they're going to pick up that Saints offense. It has struggled in most recent years. I think that's a shot in the arm. Picking up your number one tight end out of Georgia, Brock Bowers, to the New Orleans Saints.
All right. At 15, I believe the Colts go with the best available cornerback, which is Quinyon Mitchell from Toledo. I have cornerback to the Colts at 15.
I have the same thing, but as far as quarterback, but I have, and this is going to be funny because Quinyon Mitchell has been undisputed as number one in most. On YouTube, there's these Locked On podcasts. I just so happened to run across the Locked On Colts podcast maybe a week ago. And they really like Terrion Arnold out of Alabama.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, I think they're 1-1A. So that totally makes sense. So you have Terrion Arnold going there. Who do you have the Seahawks taking at 16?
That's where I have Quinyon Mitchell.
Okay, so back-to-back cornerbacks there. And this is where I'm going to shock Ernie again. At 16... Michael Penix stays in Seattle area.
Oh, my goodness.
His offensive coordinator from the University of Washington is now the offensive coordinator with the Seattle Seahawks. The entire Seahawk organization showed up at his pro day. Michael Penix is going to stay in Seattle as a member of the Seattle Seahawks.
Oh, my goodness. You have that quarterback run. I'm going to go with that same philosophy as far as runs are concerned. I had cornerback. I'm going to stay with cornerback going into my next pick with the Jacksonville Jaguars, and that's going to be Nate Wiggins out of Clemson.
That could be. I mean, there's a run. There's a lot of people who have Jacksonville pegged to get a cornerback. I'm going to go in the other direction. They lost Calvin Ridley. They did sign Gabe Davis from the Buffalo Bills, but he's been hurt a lot. I believe they go with what I think is going to end up being an all-pro caliber wide receiver, Brian Thomas Jr. from LSU, 6'3", actually had better statistics than Malik Nabers this year. I believe he's going to go to the Jacksonville Jaguars at 17, although I would love for him to slide to 19 and possibly have the Rams take him there. But I think Jacksonville, he's too good to pass up. Brian Thomas to the Jags at 17. With the Bengals, I think further investment in that offensive line. They lose Jonah Williams. They replace him with someone better. I believe they take Talese Fuaga from Oregon State. A lot of people have him as high as 7 or 10 or 13. In this scenario, he falls to 18. Bengals go offensive tackle Fuanga from Oregon State.
That's the second one we have.
The same?
The same.
Since, so right tackles since, are all we agree on.
Exactly. But now your pick. the pick that Monty has been waiting 3 years to make.
You know, so the Rams, I think, have to. We have a tremendous void with Aaron Donald leaving. So I think the Rams have to invest on the defensive side of the ball. The only exception would be if they wanted to go Brian Thomas so that we outscore everyone, I would be okay with that. But I think in this position here, I think they go with the best defensive lineman on the board. Although I like Latu from UCLA, that neck injury with Latu scares me. He had to medically retire 2 years ago. He seems to have a clean bill of health, but that scares me too much. I go tackle Byron Murphy from the University of Texas to fill that void of Aaron Donald inside. I believe we can get a edge with our second pick in the second round.
Okay, I was going to go edge for you, and I just you know the Rams more better than me. I have them taking Chop Robinson out of Penn State to fill that position.
I would love Chop Robinson as well. I mean, I have him here as a possible. So I have Byron Murphy. Other possibilities would be Jared Verse, Latu, or Chop Robinson. Chop Robinson, I think, looks and plays like Michael Parsons, but he didn't have the results of Michael Parsons in college. But he's 6'4", runs under 4'5", 254 pounds. He would fit really well with the Rams, so I would not be disappointed to have him. But now it's the Steelers' pick. Where are the Steelers going? You know, is this where Bo Nix falls?
No. Bo Nix does not exist in my first round. But the Steelers, and I've said this in prior podcasts, they're looking to do a center. The center position has actually been dropping the last several weeks. Jackson Powers Johnson, if you asked me 2 weeks ago, would have been in this position. I think they can get a center in the second round. Might not be Jackson Powers Johnson, but could be another center out there. I have them taking an offensive tackle from the same school that they drafted an offensive tackle last year in the first round. I have them taking offensive tackle out of Georgia, Amarius Mims.
And I have them going with a center. I have them taking Graham Barton, the number one center on the board. I think with Dallas also needing a center, I don't think you want to mess around. I think you want to go and get, if you're the Steelers, you want to get the best one available. I have them taking Graham Barton there at 20. For the Dolphins at 21, this is where I have, they could go in a lot of different places. They've lost a lot of people. They lost Christian Wilkins. I believe they're going to have to invest on that defensive line. You have there are two defensive ends, one with a torn ACL, one with a torn Achilles. I don't think you can count that both of them will be back to start the season. I have them taking Jared Verse, a versatile defensive lineman that can slot anywhere on that front four and provide support. I think Jared Verse is the pick for the Dolphins at 21.
Yeah, that would be an excellent pick to get him in at that position. I have him going earlier. For me, this is a position that I don't really think the Dolphins really have a tremendous need for, but I don't think he can pass this up. Like you mentioned earlier, in your draft, he went maybe two picks earlier. Brian Thomas Jr., to last this long at the number 21 spot is going to be a position that I don't think Dolphins can pass up. He will make that passing duel with him and Tyreek Hill.
And Waddle. That would be a lot of riches for Tua.
Tua will be, he'll be all pro.
Oh, I mean, he would be ecstatic because one thing that Brian Thomas provides is some height. With the other two guys are tiny and just super fast. So that would be really interesting. At 22, the Eagles' clear weakness this past year was their secondary. This is where I have them taking Terrion Arnold, the cornerback that Ernie had going to the Colts. I have him slotted here at 22 to the Eagles.
For me, the Eagles, oh boy, where do I start on top of this? Their defensive backfield needed help. I think that was the weak link in their position that basically cost them their part in the playoffs. I have them taking Alabama cornerback to fill that position, which has the coolest first name, Kool-Aid. McKinstry.
Okay. So we both agree that they go with Alabama cornerback. I go Arnold, you go Kool-Aid. At 23, this is where I have Arizona again from that earlier trade. Arizona at 11 took offensive lineman Faltanu. At 23, I believe they go with a wide receiver that they passed up on by trading down. I think they draft Xavier Worthy, wide receiver from the University of Texas. So they turn that four pick. Instead of Marvin Harrison, they now have Troy Faltanu and Xavier Worthy.
You and, okay, this is our fourth pick that we have exactly in that. And I believe Worthy proved himself in that combine, having the fastest 40 in combine history. Speed kills in this league. If he can only gain a little bit more weight, get up to maybe a buck 80, I think he'd last in the NFL. But we've seen the likes of Deshaun, Philadelphia receiver.
Deshaun Jackson?
Jackson, yeah. He lasted. Worthy can put in a little weight. I think he goes at number 23.
Okay, at 24, this is where I think the Dallas Cowboys, like I mentioned earlier, I think they're going to go center. They lost their center to the Commanders. I go with the second best center. This may be a little early, but I think the Cowboys are going to draft here at 24. They take center Zach Frazier from West Virginia.
Okay, so for Dallas, I'm going, I think they're going to be needing a center. They take the best center available. Sad as a Steeler fan to see this pick actually happen. They're going to take Jackson Powers Johnson out of the University of Oregon.
All right, so at 25, I think the Green Bay Packers stay with the offensive line. They lose David Bakhtiari. I think they go with what I believe is the best offensive lineman left on the board, Tyler Guyton, to the Green Bay Packers at 25.
I have them taking offensive tackle too. I don't have Guyton over there, though. I have him going a couple of picks later. But I have them taking Kingsley Suamataltia.
Oh, from BYU?
From BYU.
All righty. So at 26, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This is where I think the slide or the injury concerns of Liatu Latu ends. I think the Tampa Bay had to cut Shaq Barrett. I think Latu slots right into what Shaquille Barrett used to do for Tampa Bay. I think Latu to the Bucs at 26.
Okay. Unfortunately, this is where I think the Steelers made a mistake. I see the Tampa Bay Buccaneers picking up offensive center at this point. I think they are hoping that this particular individual dropped to the second round. In this scenario, I really hope I'm wrong, but I have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers picking up Graham Barton out of Duke.
Alrighty, so at 27, this is the Arizona Cardinals' third pick of the first round under my scenario. So they went offensive line with the first one, wide receiver with the second one, here at 27 because I still have him on the board. The Cardinals select Chop Robinson from Penn State. If this works out this way for the Cardinals, that's one hell of a draft to have a starting offensive lineman, a starting wide receiver, and a pass rusher the caliber of Chop Robinson. That would be a winning situation for the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, I agree. I have them, however, going defensive tackle at this position. I have Byron Murphy out of Texas. Byron Murphy the second. You know, going to the Arizona Cardinals.
Okay, that's who I had going to the Rams. You had Chop Robinson there, so we kind of flipped those two picks right there. So now with five picks left, the Buffalo Bills, and this is what's really interesting. Buffalo needs a wide receiver, but they also got rid of basically their entire secondary. So at this point in time, I think they can get a wide receiver a little bit later. I have them taking Cooper DeJean from the University of Iowa, a safety / cornerback. They have to fill all four positions in their backfield. I think they go with Cooper there at 28.
I have them going defensive tackle in this position. I have them taking out of Illinois, Johnny Newton.
Yeah, Johnny Newton was really hot at first. He's kind of slipped a little bit late. I'm not exactly sure why, but he sure looks to be the part. Investing in a strength, because what the strength of the Buffalo Bills right now is their defensive line. At 29, the Detroit Lions, for me, They go defense. They go with their secondary. They take Nate Wiggins, who you had going a lot earlier. In my scenario, Nate Wiggins is still on the board. He goes to the Detroit Lions at 29.
Okay, I have protection for Goff in this particular area. I have them taking what you consider the best offensive tackle in this draft in Tyler Guyton. I have them going in this spot.
All right, so with three picks left, the Baltimore Ravens, this is where I have who Ernie had going a lot earlier than I do. I think they replace Moses that left. They traded to the New York Jets. They replace him with Amarius Mims right here in this spot. I think the Ravens go offensive line, replace their right tackle with Mims from Georgia. Ernie had Mims going to the Steelers 10 picks sooner.
Yeah, in this particular area, I out of all the teams later in the draft, especially for the Baltimore Ravens, I really think they go for insurance for Lamar Jackson. They lost their backup quarterback this offseason. I think this is where I put in Michael Penix Jr.
Wow, to back up with the Baltimore Ravens. Oh, that's interesting. At the 31st pick, this is where I have the San Francisco 49ers starting to build for the future. I think they may be a draft day trade for Brandon Ayuk, maybe on his way out.
Wow.
For a pick or two. And I think they replace him with South Carolina wide receiver Xavier Leggett, who has been flying up the charts. 6'1", 220, Xavier Leggett to the 49ers at 31. I hope this is not true.
I have actually the San Francisco 49ers going offensive tackle, more protection for Purdy. I have them taking Jordan Morgan out of Arizona. And your pick, Leggett, if I could, I'm now behind you one. I have them going to the Kansas City Chiefs for the last pick in the first round.
And I love him with the Kansas City Chiefs, but I think Kansas City, I have another wide receiver that's going to go there. This is the wide receiver for the Texas Longhorns that set the record at the combine. It's Adonai Mitchell who set the 4.21 40. He's small, he's fast, he's like Tyreek Hill. I think he's the one that goes to the Kansas City Chiefs with the last pick. They've been craving that speed. And if you know Rasheen Rice in that accident, in the situation, he was just recently arrested. Who knows how that plays out? They definitely have to go wide receiver. I think Xavier Leggett is the better wide receiver. I think Kansas City goes speed with Mitchell.
Okay.
Ooh, guys, that wraps up our first round. Now, who got this better? Is it Ernie or me with Bo Nix and Michael Penix in the first 16 picks?
You got five quarterbacks?
I have six quarterbacks. Oh, I told you last week I'm going to have fun with this draft. I have this sneaking suspicion that six quarterbacks will go. I'm not sure if they're going to fall exactly where they fall. I'm sure I'm not going to be right. Ernie and I only agree on, what, four or five of our 32 picks, which is, we usually agree on a little bit more than that. I was one behind Ernie for like half the draft.
That's true.
But that's going to be pretty interesting. Again, Sports Rivals Podcast on IG and Facebook, Sports Rivals Pod on Twitter. Let us know what you think. Are we crazy? Which picks do you like best? What is Ernie's best pick? What is his worst pick? What is my best pick? What is my worst pick? We would love to have your feedback in terms of that. Again, we're 2 weeks out from the draft. So, any other comments on the draft?
No, other than the fact that, yeah, we are picking 2 weeks out, so there's going to be a lot of, obviously, right now on the internet, there's a lot of smoke and mirrors. Things are going to change. There could still be some trade pickups which may alter teams' picks out there, you know, coming in at the last minute. I only had one trade. You only had one trade. I would bet my house. Well, maybe not my house, but I would bet something valuable that there are more than one trade.
Oh, there's definitely going to be more than one trade
in the first rounds, which of course will make this draft topsy-turvy in regards to the picks out there.
Absolutely. So I'm going to transition to my closing thought. I'm going to make this pretty quick. We're wrapping up on an hour here. Wednesday of this week, NFL legend and infamous O.J. Simpson succumbed to cancer, passing away at the age of 76. To say O.J. Simpson has had a checkered past is an understatement. You know, he was one of the best NFL running backs of all time.
Juice.
Transitioned to be one of the most marketable commodities out there with advertisements and acting. Became a larger-than-life figure. Then 1994 happened, and the infamous police car chase watched by 95 million people as we were all gripped to the TV watching that whole situation, and then the trial that followed with the very surprising verdict of him being,
if it doesn't fit,
if the glove don't fit, you must acquit. Him getting away with that at that time and then eventually going to jail in Las Vegas for trying to steal back his memorabilia. Whatever your feelings are about O.J. Simpson, and everyone seems to have a thought on him. It's an extremely polarizing figure. I think many people believe he got away with murder. There are some people that are extremely happy that he got away with murder. Whether they believe that he did it or not, I think they're glad that he got away with it, right or wrong. My personal experience, and I actually have a personal experience with O.J. Simpson, as a kid in the airport in the days of the Hertz commercial, we were running through the airport in the San Francisco area. He came up to the guest service counter at the exact same time as us. My mom was frantic, didn't want to miss the flight. And he was like, "Go ahead, ma'am. You can go ahead." So he let us go in front of him. Wow. And I'm like, "Wow, that's O.J. Simpson." We get in the plane. We sit down. He's in the front. I walk up to him. I said, "Mr. Simpson, can I get your autograph?" He couldn't have been nicer to me and my family. He ripped out some paper. He signed his signature for me. It was an incredible experience. So when this all happened in 94, 95, my initial inkling was, the glove don't fit. You must have quit. There's no way he could have done this. But that's a little bit of a story that I wanted to share as my closing thought. He was so nice to myself and my family as a kid growing up, but that doesn't change the fact that he more than likely did something wrong. But at the end of the day, at the age of 76, O.J. Simpson succumbs to cancer and has moved on. And the O.J. saga and everything that attached to it is finally put to bed. So rest in peace, O.J. Condolences to the family.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree. No matter what you think, I mean, this is a loss to, you know, the NFL history. I mean, the guy was a great running back. I mean, boy, one of the best ones. The first running back to go over 2,000 yards, you know. And, you know, whatever you think about the trial like that, I mean, he put Kim Kardashian's father on the map as his defense attorney. Wish that the ending of his career could have ended up a little bit different. I did admire him in the NFL as well as his sideline reporting. I thought he did an excellent job at that. But unfortunately, most of us will remember the latter part of O.J. Simpson's
the infamous
life.
Parts.
Yeah, that part, which is sad because, man, the guy growing up, he was lucky to play football. This guy growing up was could have been a cripple, you know. Growing up, he had to overcome some physical issues, but used that as motivation to become the great player that he became. So I echo your sentiments as far as, you know, rest in peace, OJ. You know, hopefully the history books, when we look upon this from years to come, would at least shed a little bit more light or remembrance on the earlier part of your career to balance it out.
All right. I'm sure some of you will have your opinions on that. Again, social media, Sports Rivals Podcast on IG and Facebook, Sports Rivals Pod on Twitter. And again, special shout out to the Hawaii Sports Radio Network. Again, it's Kule and Paul Breck Mondays from 8 to 10, Tuesdays to Fridays from 8 to 9 on Wake Up in the Den, 760 AM, 95.1 FM on your dial. Of course, your home for LA Clipper and basketball and playoff basketball, Seattle Mariner baseball, USC sports, and the like. They do an incredible job at the Hawaii Sports Radio Network. HISportsRadio.com. You can listen to everything there, including the Sports Rivals podcast. And until next week, when the Lakers are rolling,
We're not going to be here next week, I think.
Oh, that's right. We're flying to the, I'm flying to the mainland for my daughter's graduation in 2 weeks. We'll be back to cover the results of the draft and talk about how the Lakers have upset the Denver Nuggets. Yeah. And until then, the Sports Rivals are out.
Thank you for joining us on the Sports Rivals podcast. Check us out on social media at Sports Rivals Podcast on Instagram and at Sports Rivals Pod on Twitter, where you can share topics you'd like to hear.